right, lots to talk about. So my prayer this morning, and not just a corporate prayer as I do pastorally, but my personal prayer is that I don't mess this up, or that at least I do it justice. There's a lot of things that I'm going to try to cover this morning, so you may end up feeling like it's going to be like coming at you, but that's okay. It'll be all right. You can pick up the CD or go back on Facebook and watch it if there's something you missed. Because I'm sure there will be. But that's okay, right? I had to go through this many times myself to just say, wow, does that make sense? You know, I don't know if you guys ever realize that. Maybe you don't give it a second thought. But there are many times I leave here on Sunday and go, did that make sense? And I was the one who said it, right? But it's God's message that I want to make sure is clearly conveyed, not just my own. All right, so here we are. On our second Sunday of 2020. Everybody getting that written down correctly now, right? Got it on your checks? If you're still doing checks, are people still doing checks? Okay, still writing checks? All right. Well, it's like that's becoming a dwindling thing, but anyway, that used to be the big thing. I remember the first of every year, I would always like write 2020 or whatever the year was, I'd write it on like several checks because I knew if I didn't do it, I was going to mess it up till I got in that habit. But maybe you don't have that issue. Last week we experienced our annual. I do it every year. If you've been here for a while, you know, and you're probably like, oh, here we go again. Right? Every year last week we had our annual review of real life discipleship, which comprised not only, because that's the thing, that's why it's so important to me, a reviewed real life discipleship last week, because it's not only the mission of this particular community of faith that meets here, but that is the mission of the church, period, right? Making disciples who are making disciples, right? And I told you, you know, people, countless boards and pastors spend hours trying to somehow creatively put together what the Bible makes very clear to us. That's the mission of the church. To make disciples who are making disciples. And so that's what we spent time on last week. Now, the mission is what we are called to do, right? It's the what. But our vision and our values drive the why and the how of the way that we do ministry here, right? So the mission, very clear, making disciples. Our vision and values, they're going to kind of impact on what I'm going to be sharing today. 11 years ago, Real Life Chapel began with this simple vision. This was our simple vision, to be a church that unchurched and those returning to church love to attend and invite others to experience. Okay, real simple, the unchurched, right? The unchurched reflected, really, that was birthed out of, Laura Lee and I, and that was her experience growing up. Zero church background, didn't go to church, wasn't raised in that. That wasn't a part of anything, right? And so we kind of really had a heart for those folks that, you know, I'm not saying they've never darkened the doors of a church, but it wasn't a real part of their life, of their growing up. Those returning to church, well, that reflected more of my life, right? I was raised in church, you know, and I know a lot of people like me, man. I was raised in church, and at 17, boom, I bolted, gone, right? And I didn't want anything to do with anything that sounded like, smelled like God for over a decade, right? And I intentionally ran the other way to do anything and everything I thought was anti. But then I returned, and so I know that there are folks that are returning to church, whether it's, you know, they left just because they were a kid and all of a sudden they went to college and got enlightened, right? We do that. It's amazing how smart we are and be dumb at the same time. But we, you know, and then we return when we get kids and all of a sudden go, oh my, I got to figure out life, right? I didn't get it in a book. Like the books they gave me. There's another book. But anyway, those that are returning church. And some of us were wounded, hurt for whatever reason, but returning to church. So these are the two groups of people that we had in mind when we started this thing. To be a church that unchurched and those returning to church love to attend. And then they'll invite others to come experience. Man, that hasn't changed. We started with that. We still want to be that. But I want you to understand, that's why we sound the way we do. That's why we look the way we do. This isn't random. It isn't happenstance. This is absolutely, every bit of this is intentional. When you walk in the door and go, man, I don't know about that music. That might be satanic, right? Whatever, right? This is intentional. Oh, man, that looks, why are they going, I'm not sure. That don't look like, that's intentional. From the very beginning. No apologies. So, you were waiting for the apology, right? Never going to happen. Okay. So, our values. What are our values? Our values here are very simple. And it took us a while to kind of get this boiled down. They're not new. We're not brilliant. There's not, but it's real simple. Our values, real simple three. Discipleship, relationship, worship. Those are the three things that are of immense value. There's a lot of other things that are valuable, but those are our three driving values here at Real Life Chapel. And they drive how we do ministry. Now, before I share what God has placed on my heart and on the hearts of our leadership team for 2020, I want to take a few minutes to thank all the volunteers that serve here at Real Life Chapel. We have a lot of people that serve in so many different capacities. And some of them are seen, some of them are not seen. Some of them are seem large in scope or responsibility in some minuscule. And yet I will tell you, every one of them are equally important to accomplishing, right, the mission, the vision, and values of Real Life Chapel. So I want to thank those who serve as greeters, both upstairs and downstairs. Thank those that serve as ushers, right? I want to thank those who have been willing to step forth and be a part of our safety team. It's important in trying to keep the flock safe, right, during our gatherings. I want to thank those that take the time and effort to put together our hospitality table in the back, right? Seems like a small job. I can guarantee you, right? Some of y'all be grumbling if they didn't do it, though, wouldn't you? Right? Where's the coffee, praise the Lord? Right? Some of you, that's what you'd walk in here and be like. Mm-hmm. We don't notice when people are doing their thing, but when they don't, we notice, don't we? Right? And I want to thank the volunteers that work in the production booth in the back. Right? I mean, that's everything from the sound to making sure the streaming is going on out on Facebook, make sure the computer up on the screen, the lights, all of those things. Sometimes we don't think about it, we take it for granted, but there are people that put in time and are willing to serve in that capacity, and I want to thank you guys for that. The musicians that were up here this morning, we have several. Anybody that's been here multiple times, you see different faces up here from time to time because we rotate through that. And when God has blessed us, we have many talented musicians. And look, folks, they spend a lot of time, more time than you may realize, practicing, you know, reviewing and rehearsing together just to make this happen on Sunday morning. And I want to thank them for the time that they put in. And then there are those that really don't get seen as much, but I can tell you is absolutely critical. The unsung heroes of our church are our nursery and children's ministry volunteers. That's huge, huge. They deserve that, right? Because they're dealing with your kids. Right, so some of them, it should be like the ups man. Some of you should be going down there and giving them treats and giving them thank you and gift cards. You know, you put up with my kid, may the Lord bless you, or whatever you have to do for that, right? I want to thank those that serve in small group leaders, facilitating small groups and getting people together to help nurture these relationships. It's an incredibly important piece. I want to thank our Operation Christmas Child volunteers. You guys put in all kinds of time, coming up for the workshops, coming up for the meetings, being here when we're putting together all the boxes, and then volunteering to be a part of the, you know, putting it together for the collection. I mean, the involvement of that ministry has grown so much that now we're now going to be the collection site for our area for Operation Christmas Child, right? How many boxes this year from just this congregation? 515 Operation Christmas Child boxes just from our folks, right? So I want to thank you guys for being a part of that. I want to thank those that, because we have folks right here that volunteer and take their time. They volunteer at Choices Pregnancy Center here in town. I want to thank you for doing that. It's a big thing. I want to thank you, those that have spent time and take meals to Talbot Interfaith Shelter here in town. And we have people that are doing that. And I want to thank, I want to thank the people that were on the NACA team, right? Putting that together. That takes a lot of coordination to put that together and traveling out there and doing the work, you know? I want to thank you guys. And if I missed you somewhere, I do apologize. But if you didn't find one of those things, then that's your problem. You need to find something, right? I would be glad to thank you. Do something and I'll thank you. Some of you want to sit there and do nothing, but you want to thank you. Okay. Also, while we're keeping it going, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your generosity. Right? I do. I want to thank you for your generosity. And I want to share real quickly. Now, this is very quickly, not telling stories. If I told stories, which would be great, we'll do that at another time. But if I were to tell you stories, we would be here for a long time today. But I want to thank you for your generosity, and I want to kind of share, just real quickly in a list format, I want to share how and where your generosity makes a difference. You, right? This is what I'm getting ready to share here. This is an operating expenses, right? We have operating expenses. We have operating budget, right? We have those things that just have to be done. You know, and I could make that apparent. I've thought many times that I wanted the power, just for us to intentionally cut the power in the middle of the service, but I wanted to make sure it was either the coldest or the hottest day. So you would have an appreciation for those things we don't think about, you know, called utility bills and all those kind of things and lights. And so there are overhead and salaries in the building and maintenance and insurance. Yes, we have all kinds of operating expenses. But what I'm going to talk about right now is over and above and beyond that, and where your generosity has gone to others, right? Not just so we can operate. So this year, this is just 2019, you gave, and I'm rounding these figures up because some of my people that are the figure people right now are going to go, well, wait a minute, that was 28 and 19 cents. I'm just rounding things up, okay, so don't get excited. you gave $6,800 this year to benevolence. You know what that is, folks? That is specifically, you gave nearly $7,000 this year for benevolence. Benevolence is only for those inside that are part of this body right here. You gave nearly $7,000 to meet the needs of families and individuals that are sitting right here this morning. That's a big deal because that comes in a lot of different ways. And a lot of that's in counseling. And providing counseling, whether it's marriage counseling or it's individual counseling. But you guys, your generosity, $6,800 went to benevolence to help those that are right here part of this family. $2,800 you gave to Choices Pregnancy Center this year. That was between our Christmas Eve offering. We take an offering every Christmas Eve. 100% of it goes to Choices Pregnancy Center. So between the Christmas Eve offering and the baby bottle campaign that we do from Mother's Day to Father's Day, you guys gave $2,800 to Choices Pregnancy Center. You gave $2,600 to Compassionate Ministries. What is that? Because I'm not sure what that is. That's meeting community needs, the needs of families and individuals right here in our community, but outside of our fellowship. Not a part of Real Life Chapel, but yet either connected or presented to us, needs that are being met right here. You gave $1,000 this year to Delmarva Teen Challenge, to that ministry. You gave $1,200 to a Messianic congregation in Israel, one that we fostered a relationship with and we've been supporting every year, that do all kinds of work against human trafficking over there. You gave $1,100 this year to Impact Church, right? And next week for Sanctity of Life, Michelle Hendrickson is going to be here to speak on Sanctity of Life. She's a part of Impact Church. You know, Pastor Eric came and he shared. right? The new church plant over on the other side of the bridge. You guys gave $1,100 to them. Now here, we're getting ready to get into some big numbers, right? So don't think this is out of balance. I'm going to explain it in a minute. You guys gave $10,000 this year to NACA. $10,000 to the Native American Christian Academy in Holbrook. That's awesome. Now, let me explain some of that, because some of you are going to go, well, that's a whole lot for the... Hey, listen. When these folks go out on the trip, and we send a group every year, we send a team every year, when they go out, it costs them $1,000 each to go on the trip. They have to pay $1,000 each to go on the trip. $350 of that goes for the project materials they're going to need for the work they're going to do. Right? So when you have 16 people go, $350 times 16, that's going to project materials right away. So that can become a significant sum. But we knew that that wasn't going to be enough to accomplish all that was needed. So even in addition, more funds were sent out to help make sure they had all the supplies and materials to accomplish the renovations that our team was going to conduct. There was money that was given to the kids for games and for meals, to have meal nights with the staff and the children there. It also included shipping out, look, your generosity, we gave Christmas gifts. You guys gave Christmas gifts to the entire student body at the Native American Christian Academy this year. Right? The shipping alone was going to be well over $1,000 just to ship the presents out, but we had a 30% coupon at Staples to ship through Staples. And so we were able to get it less, right? But I'm just telling you, so making a huge impact, right? $12,000 went to the WEF. And I know everybody's going, what? WEF, it's the World Evangelism Fund, right? This is a part of the Church of Nazarene. So $12,000 this year went to missionaries, directly to missionaries around the world, 162 world areas, and these are going to the missionaries in some of the most secluded areas, difficult countries, helping them. Not only the missionaries themselves, but ministry outposts, new churches, literature. You got 162 world areas, you got a lot of languages. You got a lot of literature that's got to be produced. And also a big partnership a lot of people aren't familiar with, but one of the most powerful, important partnerships that we do as a Church of Nazarene is we partner with the Jesus Film Project. We are one of the leading factions that put together and fund them taking that film all around the world, showing it in some of the remote jungles as well as in the middle of the desert. And the disaster relief response. Every time there's a natural disaster, I don't care where it is, the Church of Nazarene sends a disaster relief team, just like the Red Cross or anybody else. They're in Texas right now. Right? They were all over the South this year with the different flooding and tornadoes and stuff. They were in Puerto Rico. They've been in anywhere there's been a natural disaster. We helped fund all of that. Your generosity did. $800 you gave to Worthy Ministries. Wittens, who were here just a few weeks ago before Christmas, to do the work they do in the Negev in Israel. Right? $800, you guys gave $800. The little teeny boxes, alabaster boxes, you guys gave $800. An alabaster box, which goes directly to building brick and mortar in missionary places. That is directly to the brick and mortar, building these little churches. You gave, now here's the thing, thinking about the expansion with Operation Christmas Child, right? You got to ship those boxes, right? And there's all kinds of different materials that we filled them up with that cost not just the individuals who brought boxes, but when we had our big, you know, building thing here that we do right at the church. You guys gave $4,000 to Operation Christmas Child this year, right? Now, this isn't operational, but I do want to point it out. There was a little jug. We had a little jug. We had a jug where you put change in that was just to help with the mortgage, right? We make our regular mortgage payment, you know. They kind of frown on that if you don't. But in addition to that, and so here's what I want to talk about. In addition to that, there was almost $250 collected in that jug to go to the ministry. And you think, well, that, you know, to the mortgage. You think that's a small thing, but everything counts. But I will tell you, we had one or two individuals, anonymously, but we had one or two individuals that gave above and beyond directly to the mortgage this year, to the tune of $17,000. Okay? So I want to thank you, not only for those that are volunteering, but I want to thank you for the generosity that's been expressed. And I am. I'm so grateful for what's been given. And yet, you knew it was coming. We are capable of much, much more. Much, much more. Not deflating what all has just been done. Those are, right, those are admirable. But we're capable of even more. So, over the past year, repeatedly, we've had this conversation in our leadership team when we would have meetings and get together. And we just kind of thought, you know what? We feel like we're doing an adequate job in our global footprint and making a difference, you know, whether it's WEF or like Operation Christmas Child and impacting people around the world and the ministries in Israel. We felt even pretty good about our domestic footprint and how we're making an impact, you know, at NACA and making a difference here. We felt really good about benevolence and how we're meeting the needs of those inside the walls here. But where we really felt that we needed to make a greater impact was in our local region outside of our walls. We needed to find, though, we didn't want to just dovetail with somebody else. We're doing that, and we do that. But we just thought we need to find our niche. You know, our role, our place in that, but we knew we needed to be doing something. And there are many crises, right? I mean, there's no shortage. If you don't have to look far, look long, look hard, and you can find crisis out here in our local community, folks. We've got it, right? I mean, there's an addiction crisis we're all aware of. We've been involved in that. Right, we have a recovery ministry that meets here on Thursday nights. We've been involved with the Talbot Goes Purple from its inception. Right? It's not the only crisis. There's a mental health crisis out here if you don't realize it. There really is. We've even hosted seminars about that here, right? And trying to work with people in different counseling efforts to help in that capacity. But there's some other crisis. But the idea we had to do, we had to sort through and go, man, there's so many crises, so many needs. Which one? Which one do we address? Well, we just kind of fell back on the old Henry Blackaby thought process. Some of you may be familiar with this, some may not be. But he said, instead of trying to find, or instead of trying to, come up with an idea and then getting God to bless your efforts and bless your plan, you needed to stop and you needed to take a look around and see where God's moving. And then join him with what he's doing. Right? So I want to give you a couple of terms. I want to define them. I'm going to come back to them in just a minute. But I want to give these to you if you've never heard of this. Food insecurity. I don't know if you've heard of this. Do you know that that's an issue right here? Not anywhere else. Not even in the third world. Right here. Talbot County. And food insecurity is an issue. Not sure what that is. This is what it means. Food insecurity is lacking the reliable access to a sufficient quantity of affordable, nutritious food. Let me say that again. I know there were some multiple syllables. Some of you wrestled with it. Lacking reliable access to a sufficient quantity of affordable, nutritious food. That's an issue here. And I want to give you another term. ALICE. Right? And this is an acronym. ALICE. And this is what it stands for. It stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. I know that was a lot. You're like, oh, anyway. Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. Folks, these are otherwise known as the working poor. Right? These are too often the invisible. Because when we think about food insecurity, the first thing we do is think about the complete downtrodden and the destitute and the homeless. And while that's the truth, there's a great number of people who fall in the ALICE category. And that means they're employed. They have jobs. But they're struggling to make ends meet. And all it would take is one crisis, losing a paycheck for one or two times, and they would be in serious trouble. They're the folks that work hard at their jobs, and yet often they have to decide which bill they're going to be able to pay because they can't pay them all. Right? We're going to come back to that. I want you to think about those terms. So, for Real Life Chapel 2020, I gave you a blank on your program. You wonder if I was going to get there. You got a blank on your program if you want to fill it in. For 2020, this is going to be the year of compassion. See, I knew y'all wouldn't guess that. So this year is going to be the year of compassion. Now, I know as soon as I say that word, some of you go, aw. That's not compassion. I'm going to help you get that sorted out right now. Right? Because too often that's what we think. We say the word compassion and you think, aw, suffices. That's not compassionate in any way, shape, fashion, or form. But let me help you out. I need, if you could put this next slide up. This is a slide that kind of talks about or demonstrates engagement levels, right? So here it is, right? You start out, and the awe I just did for you guys, oh, that's called pity, right? Oh, that's so sad. We do that all the time and keep on rolling in our lives. And we don't even give it another thought. 5 minutes from, we forgot it. But we went, oh, right? That's pity. Sympathy. Oh, it's a longer oh. Nothing more. It's a longer oh, right? And that means I care about your suffering. I just don't recognize it. I actually care. Oh. Okay. And then you go on with your life. Then there's empathy. Now, empathy, it does change. When you reach empathy, it's not just an awe or a longer awe. But now it's starting to break my heart a little bit. Right? I'm starting to really feel and kind of not just feel sorry for you, but I'm starting to kind of feel some of your suffering, and it's really starting to bother me. But 2020 is not going to be the year of pity. It's not going to be the year of sympathy. It's not going to be a year of empathy, right? Too often, folks, that doesn't help anybody. That just empowers people to stay in their circles and keep doing the dumb stuff they're doing, right? But we're going to have a year of compassion. Compassion has no awe, right? Compassion says, I want to relieve your suffering. There's no awe. There's no awe. There's no awe. It breaks my heart. No. I'm no longer chasing feelings. Wow, we just sang that a few minutes ago. If we could really stamp that on our life. I'm no longer chasing feelings. Spirit, lead me, right? To do something. Compassion. I want to relieve your suffering. So, there's this Greek word I want to share with you. You're going to feel smart. You're going to feel smart when you leave today because you're going to have a new word in your vocabulary. You can leave that other one up, if you would, Lori, just for a while. Some people might need that to burn into them a little bit. Greek word. This is a Greek word, right? You're going to feel like you've broadened your horizons. Are you ready? It's fun to say. It's better when words are fun to say, right? We all saw Elf, right? Francisco, right? It was fun to say. All right? So here we go. Greek word. Are you ready? Splunknitsumai. Right? I mean, that's like fun. Splunknitsumai. Right? Say it with me. Splunknitsumai. See, you guys learned a Greek word today. Right? Splunknitsumai. What's it mean? This is the Greek word for compassion. That's what it means. Splunknitsumai. Anytime that word is used in the scripture, in the New Testament, irregardless of how some English translations rendering it, because see, here's the problem. Sometimes they render it as pity, sympathy, empathy, or another word, but that's not what it means. Splunknitsumai means compassion. Right? It's funny how words come together. You wonder how their origins are. Because see, just like this diagram, what are all those hands wrapping around? Because, right, when we go, aw, right, don't we go, aw, bless their heart? Right? That's supposed to be like the thing I'm supposed to say. Right? And I have thought many times about stepping into that role of ministry. Because I would much rather just go, aw, bless their heart, and leave it at that. That is so much easier for me. It's not real by any means, but I mean, it's a lot easier for me to just go, oh, bless their heart, and then roll my way and you go yours. But ministry's messy when you engage in people's lives and deal with them, right? But see, here's the thing. In our day, in our culture, the heart is the seat of emotion, right? So that's why we say that. It breaks my heart. Oh, bless their heart, right? That's how we talk about it. But in the ancient world, total different location, folks. Total different thought process. You know what was considered to be the seat of emotion in the ancient times? The bowels. Honestly, total different deal, but that it was it, right? So when you felt compassion, there was movement, right? Splunk, nitsomai. You wonder where the word, I don't know if it originated, but I'm just, you have to wonder, right? The way it sounds, it's like splunk, oh my, or something, you know, but splunk nitsomai is the Greek term, and it means to be moved with compassion, okay? This will help you lock the world in. I guarantee you when you leave here today, you don't remember nothing else I said, you're going to remember that, right? Sick people. Anyway, what I want you to understand is in the scripture, when splunk nitsomai comes out, when that word, when this concept of compassion comes out with Jesus every single time, it translates to action. Never in scripture did Jesus feel compassion and went, oh, it's not in there anywhere, right? When Jesus felt compassion, he went into action. I listed scriptures in your program. You can take a look at it, right? All of these scriptures, and that's the reason I didn't write them all out, because I want to challenge you to look these up. In every one of these, Jesus felt compassion, and then he did something. Whenever Jesus felt compassion, it translated to healing, to teaching, to feeding. To feeding a couple different times. Forgiveness, restoration, even resurrection, when he felt compassion. Now, I want to highlight real quick 15:32. I could have picked 14:14, but I did 15:32. Just want you to see this, all right? We're getting ready to get to it. Matthew 15:32 says, then Jesus called his disciples, and he told them, I feel sorry. See, now this is how they translate it. That's, what's the word? Come on, what's the Greek word? Hey, see, you guys got this down already. Splunk nitsomai, that's what the word is, but they translated it as sorry. But really, I feel compassion, right, for these people. They have been here with me for 3 days. They haven't nothing left to eat, and I don't want to send them away hungry, or they will faint along the way. Jesus wasn't just concerned, because some people would like to just spiritualize that and say, well, he meant that he wanted to feed them spiritually. No, no. He was concerned about their physical hunger, and he wanted to meet that need. And so right here in Matthew 15:32, he goes on to feed 4,000 people. Previous to this in Matthew 14:14, he feeds 5,000 people, right? So when Jesus has compassion, one of his actions is to feed people, right? Some of you are smart. You're catching where we're headed. So on the next side of your program at the top, you got another blank for those that like to fill in blanks, right? So it made me wonder when I thought about this, about compassion and Jesus feeding 4,000, 5,000, made me wonder how often in ministry, or how often is ministry in the scriptures at or around food or a table, right? I just wrote down for you Luke, just the Gospel of Luke. Didn't even do Matthew, Mark, or John. Just in the Gospel of Luke, I want you to look up every one of these scriptures and see it, how ministry surrounding food or at a table resulted in all kinds of stuff. From the healing of Peter's mother-in-law that ended up with a meal, right? To a banquet at Matthew's house, to eating with tax collectors and notorious sinners, to the Last Supper. We're familiar with that one. Even post-resurrection, Jesus was breaking bread in Emmaus. From the beginning to the end of his ministry, Jesus was doing all kinds of ministry around tables with food, changing people's lives. So, say all that to say this. In 2020, our vision for Real Life Chapel is to engage in compassion. Not saying all, but to go into action. We want to demonstrate compassion, engage in compassion by ministering to the needs of people around tables with food. And that's what we want to do in 2020. Food security is a real life issue, folks. Think about kids. You want to think about kids for a second? This is a reality that I'm going to say those that are teachers in our congregation are going to be familiar with. 16.1% of children in Talbot County are food insecure. 16.1% of the children just in Talbot, this Talbot County, are food insecure. 19.5% of the children in Caroline County are food insecure. 20.4% of the children in Dorchester County are food insecure. 13.8% of children in both Kent and Queen Anne County are food insecure. These are the children. We're not even added in the seniors yet. Those statistics can be just as large. Alice, I remember I mentioned Alice, right? Asset limited, income constrained, the employed, the working poor. That category represents 19,000 households here on the Mid-Shore. 19,000 households. Now, Real Life Chapel can't solve this problem. I'm not saying we can, right? It's huge. But we can do our part. So, our hope, our dream, our goal, our vision is to begin facilitating with strategic partners. We're not going to do this on our own. But we want to begin facilitating monthly food gatherings in all five counties before the end of 2021. That's our vision. That's our dream. We want to facilitate monthly food gatherings in all five counties. That's right. Real Life Chapel wants to be partnering with somebody and facilitating a food gathering in Queen Anne, in Kent, in Dorchester, in Caroline, and Talbot County to make a difference. See, at these food gatherings, we're going to share a good meal, right? Another thing about compassion, did you know that the compassion, the definition is to suffer with, right? So we're not talking about having food gatherings where we all stand in the kitchen and look at them. No. We're going to eat with, right? So if you're not down with that, then stay out of it and shut your mouth, right? No complaints allowed on this trip. At these food gatherings, we're going to share a good meal. We're going to connect in conversation. And we're going to minister via the gospel and prayer. It's simple. It's not complicated. And in this way, we will continue the mission of the church, making disciples who are making disciples. So, as we continue moving forward in 2020, this new initiative, somebody I know is waiting, okay, so what are we getting rid of? What are we dropping? Nothing. We're not going to stop doing what we're already doing. We're going to expand and start doing more. Right? We're going to start serving people outside of here, making a difference in their lives. So, that brings it down to, I want to challenge you. Right? I mean, I can put this together and hopefully it makes sense and you walk out of here and you get an idea where we're headed. But I want to challenge you this year to increase your level of engagement Right? How engaged are you? I want you to increase your level of engagement in both the mission of the church, and in our vision for 2020. Right? But nobody invited me. Oh my gosh. Would you stink and grow up? But I'm an introvert. Nobody cares. Generally, truly, I don't care. That's your problem. Get over it. Right? If you think about somebody else and stop thinking about yourself all the time, you might get over all your little issues. Jesus would have said the same thing. Probably a lot better, but. So, think about it, folks. All the things I listed, whether it's OCC or it's NACA or it's small groups or it's these new food initiatives, man, you got all kinds of opportunity here to engage. If you're not, what's wrong with you? Right? But I need a red carpet and a gold invitation. Wow. Anyway, this may sound strange, so I'm going to close with this. It may sound strange, but I am praying for you to have a bowel movement. Compassion that moves into action.